Welcome to the Forgiven Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Northeast Baptist Church of Danbury. We're honored to share with you a message from God's Word that is sure to be a help and a blessing. Here's our pastor, Joe Vasek.
There's just a few more days until Christmas. I hope you're enjoying this Christmas season. There's so many different traditions that each of us enjoys during the Christmas season, from tree lightings to Christmas parties, from It's a Wonderful Life to the Nutcracker, seeing the Christmas lights, shopping for the people we love, hearing Christmas songs everywhere we go. We all have family traditions. We have town traditions, church traditions, national traditions. I grew up in the town of North Salem. Many years ago, a wealthy man in North Salem named Keeler donated a piece of property on Route 121 to the town on the condition that it always be used for the enjoyment of the children in town. So they planted a pine tree there, and every year that tall tree is decorated with Christmas lights. It's a beautiful spot with a gorgeous view of Hunt Mountain behind it. Hunt Mountain's the highest elevation in Westchester County. On Christmas Eve, hundreds of people from the town gather at that tree. There's a nice big fire. They serve cookies, hot chocolate, hot cider, while people stand around the fire and sing songs like Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Silent Night and Joy to the World. Then suddenly, in the background, you begin to hear the sound of a fire engine's siren split the cold December air. Everyone turns to look up the hill, and there, from around the corner, comes the fire engine. Standing on the back of the truck, with a spotlight shining brightly upon him, is Santa Claus. Waving to the crowd, everybody cheers. The truck comes to a stop right in front of the tree where everybody's gathered. Santa climbs down off the truck. He makes his way through the crowd to a little park bench. There on that bench, he takes the time to greet every child who wants to see him, and there's easily 100 kids there. I'm sure you've had some traditions in your neighborhood, or maybe you grew up somewhere else and you remember the traditions of Christmas back home. You know very well that it's very easy to let it all become a burden instead of a blessing. And I hope you'll be able to stop from time to time to take it all in during these holidays. And I hope that sometime during this very busy week, maybe late at night in the quietness in front of the fire, or early in the morning alone in the calm, I hope you'll take a few minutes to consider this simple thought. There is a reason that after 2,000 years we still commemorate this birth of a baby boy all around the world. Now, I realize that Christ was not born on December 25th and that we don't know the actual date of his birth, but that's not the point. The point is that after 2,000 years, the entire world still commemorates his birth. After 2 millennia, people all around the world still celebrate the fact that Christ was born. Can you tell me another person whose birth has had that kind of an impact on the world? No one else's birth has. No Pharaoh's birth has affected the world like that. No philosopher's birth has impacted history like that. No conqueror's birth is remembered like that. Not Moses' birth, not Caesar's birth, not Muhammad's birth, not Aristotle's birth. But the birth of this one baby boy is celebrated to this day. Why is that? Every time you write the date, you're commemorating the birth of this one man. You would think the world would have forgotten by now, like we forget everything else. But we haven't. What's so amazing about the birth of this one baby? This one baby whose birth was a great event before it even happened. This one baby whose birth, the time of it and the place of it, were foretold in writing hundreds of years in advance. This one baby whose birth got the attention of educated men from hundreds of miles away. You know, most of the time a man's life gets our attention, and then we go back and retrace the events surrounding his birth. But not this baby. This baby's birth grabbed the attention of the world before he was even born. In fact, this baby's birth was announced to people before the baby was even conceived in his mother's womb. And there wasn't a lot of fanfare surrounding his birth. There were no elaborate provisions made, no posh accommodations. His mother gave birth in a stable inside of a cave. The first guests who came to see the baby were shepherds, common men. There were no members of the press in attendance. There were no dignitaries. But his birth made a great splash. And 2,000 years later, the world still stops to celebrate it. Why? Why? The answer can be found in four simple words. The birth of that baby in a stable in the up-to-then unknown town of Bethlehem still impacts the world 2,000 years later. Because on that day in Bethlehem, God became a man. God became a man. Just saying those four words sends chills up my spine. God became a man. Now, if Jesus Christ was just a good teacher, nothing more, nothing less, then to commemorate his birth all these years later really isn't justified. But if in Bethlehem on that day, God really did become a man, then the birth of that baby boy was the pivotal event of all history. Think of it. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, chose to take upon himself human flesh. He was born of a human mother, but Almighty God was his literal father. God became a man. God became a man. What an amazing thought. Think on that as you sit by the fire. Think on that as you wrap those presents. Think on that as you labor over that great Christmas meal. All this food, all these presents, all these decorations, all these songs, all this celebration is to commemorate the fact that God became a man. It's stated over and over again in the carols that we sing. You might have sung right on past them and not even noticed. But here's some lines that you heard sung in a store at the Danbury Fair Mall or on your radio these last few weeks. God with man is now residing. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Son of God loves pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Born that man no more may die. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. These songs that you'll hear every day this week, they confirm again and again that God became a man. You know, it's something to hear crooners like Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra sing those words. To hear country singers like George Strait and Waylon Jennings sing those words. To hear pop stars like Josh Groban or Mariah Carey sing those words. God became a man. God became a man. That's why after 2,000 years, every year the entire world stops to celebrate the birth of one person. Nobody else who lived 2,000 years ago still has a significant impact on our lives today, but this man does. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, God became a man. Let's hear what the Bible has to say about it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Micah 5, 2, but thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, and he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 2, verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John 1, verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3, 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Christ, who is the image of God. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Friend, whether you take a surface glance at the Bible or whether you do an in-depth study of the Bible, you can't escape the fact that the Bible tells us very clearly that in Jesus Christ, God became a man. How can that not get your attention? How can you ignore the witness of history that after 2,000 years, the birth of an unknown boy to an unknown family in an unknown town, out back of an overcrowded motel, in a stable inside of a cave, a boy who grew up to be a carpenter until he was 30, and then for 3 years, just 3 years, he traveled about a 20-mile radius, preaching a simple message, and then he was executed for religious crimes. He was said to have risen from the dead 3 days later. And yet, 2,000 years later, his name is still worshipped by many and cursed by many others. And once a year, the entire world stops to celebrate his birth. His life had such an impact that even people who deny his deity exchange gifts in celebration of his birth. People say, I don't get into the Jesus stuff. I'm just celebrating peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Okay, sure, but you're still confirming the impact that his birth has had on the history of the world. How can you ignore that? What makes you think that with a clear conscience someday you'll stand before God and say, I didn't know? 2,000 years later, the birth of this unknown baby boy is still celebrated around the world. There must be something to that. Christmas morning at our house begins the same way every year. My wife and I get up before the kids. I put the coffee on, start a fire in the fireplace. I sit in front of the fire in that wonderful quiet that only comes on major holidays. And I thank God for his goodness to me and to my family. The kids wake up, but they know they can't come into the living room until their grandparents get here. Once Grammy and Pop arrive, the kids come in and see their packed full stockings hanging on the mantle and all the gifts under and around the Christmas tree. But before we open a card or a stocking or a present, I open the Bible and read from the book of Luke, chapter 2. And together, we all remember what it's all about. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Then after I read the Bible, our family prays, and we thank God for the wonderful gift that he gave to this world in the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ.
For what earthly reason would the heavenly Father send down his Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang on a tree? I wept sweet Lamb of glory, and His only reason was me. I was the reason that won every
The Bible says that the God of this world, that's Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, friend, the reason that the evidence is so abundantly clear and yet you refuse to believe it, the reason is that Satan, God's sworn enemy and your sworn enemy, Satan has used all kinds of lies and errors to blind your mind from seeing and believing God's truth. That's why people don't just dismiss the message of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. They despise it. It makes them angry. Man, when I know something isn't true, I just laugh at it. I blow it off. I don't let it eat at me. The only time something eats at me is when, down deep in my heart, I know there's some truth to it and I'm in denial. And eventually I have to face up to it and investigate it sincerely. Isn't it about time that you stop despising the message of Jesus Christ, face up to God's truth, and receive His gift of salvation? Wouldn't it be a shame for God to give to this world the gift of His only begotten Son, and for you to miss out on it all? God gave us His Son so that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could receive from God everlasting life. Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose was to give His life in our place so that we could be forgiven by God. Today is your day to be forgiven by God and to receive everlasting life. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you talk to Him yourself right now, right where you are, and tell Him that you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're choosing to believe on Him and to receive Him. Tell Him something like this: "Dear God, I know that I've sinned against You. I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. I want You to forgive me. Thank You for giving Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus, please come into my heart. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. Help me to know You. Help me to live for You. Amen." Did you make that decision today? That, my friend, is what Christmas is all about. And if you receive Jesus as your Savior right now, you've made peace with God. God promises that He has forgiven your sins, and He promises that you now have everlasting life. Praise God. I hope you'll let somebody know that you made Jesus your Savior today. I hope you'll find a church that believes, preaches, and practices the Bible, and that you'll grow and thrive in your faith. You're certainly welcome at Northeast Baptist Church here in Danbury. Have a wonderful Christmas. God bless you.
We're so glad that you tuned in today. We pray that the message from God's Word helps you start your week off right. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, or if you or someone you know needs prayer, please email us at forgiven@nbcdanbury.org or call the church office at 203-798-7088. Our church is located at 101 East Pembroke Road in Danbury. We'd love for you to worship with us Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You'll feel right at home as we enjoy God's love together. We look forward to meeting with you again, right here, next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. God bless you and have a great week.